We carry on with our reading of Matthew 26, and our topic today is on the subject of the Passover feast. And this is an important text to study because we will have a little bit of a glimpse as to how the disciples of the Lord Jesus and the Lord himself, of how he kept the feast of the Old Testament. And the Passover feast was mentioned, right? So in chapter 26, verse 17, we read, on the first day of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, disciples came to the Lord Jesus saying, where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover? Now, the Feast of the Unleavened Bread is actually a phrase that covers the entire period. Right, so first there is the Passover, followed by the 7 days of the unleavened bread. And to many people, the unleavened bread feast was perhaps even more important because it featured certain details which are perhaps overlooked because of the Passover and its historical significance. So sometimes the mention of the unleavened bread feast and the Passover cross into each other, so that one covers the other. And so when we look at a feast of the unleavened bread mentioned, and then in verse 18, go into the city to a certain man and say to him, the teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. The focus was the Passover. Right, so we have two things mentioned side by side. The unleavened bread feast, which is 1 week, which the Lord Jesus did not keep because soon after that, he was crucified. But did he keep the Passover? Yes. Well, this was a requirement in the Old Testament. So there are two feasts that are combined as one. And it's called the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, but it is actually the Passover as well. It's the first day, followed by 7 days of the unleavened bread. So we read how this works out. Now, during this time, the Jews were having a lot of plans, a lot to try and arrest the Lord Jesus if they could. So that's why this was kept on the quiet all the time. So he said to the disciples, go into the city to a certain man. Identity not mentioned. And you go down there and say to him, the teacher says, my time is at hand. And so this was all in code, as it were, secret language. Only certain disciples will be told, the others are not told. Right? Outside people, only certain people understand this language. Others won't. And so this was actually kept quiet, kept to the very, very quiet side so that people cannot pounce on the Lord Jesus unawares. Right? So disciples did as the Lord Jesus had directed them, and thus they prepared the Passover. Verse 19. When evening had come, he sat down with the 12. And then, so we have a special conversation. Now, as they were eating, the Lord said to them, assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful. And each of them began to say to him, Lord, is it I? He answered and said, he who dip his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, Rabbi, is it I? He said to him, you have said it. Now, as we look at this whole story, we have to ask what this is all about. First, this story is actually, we can trace its beginning to Exodus 12, 13, where the Lord himself gave to Moses very, very specific orders that they are to remember the night when God will pass over Egypt. And this was going to be the 10th and last plague that God will unleash upon Egypt. And it was an important thing that God gave to Moses. First, a lamb must be slain. And then the lamb, the blood of the lamb must be pasted literally or painted on the lintels of the doorposts. So that when the angel of the Lord or the Lord will pass over, well, then he will see the blood, and then the occupants in the house, especially the firstborn, would be protected and they would not die. So Israel as a whole obeyed the Lord. And every household, remember, it was widespread, the land of Goshen, and a lot of people's lives were saved that night. And so this was commemorated as the Passover feast, right? So, but this Passover was more than just historical. This would be the last Passover that the Lord Jesus Christ was going to observe with all his disciples. Now, this home has to be undisclosed, because if the people are angry, they could end up arresting and hurting other people who are involved in the life of the Lord Jesus. Right? So the enemies were on full alert, and they're going to arrest him on sight. They're going to put everybody who supported the Lord Jesus in trouble. They could all end up in jail and bad things could happen. But the Lord was determined to keep this Passover. Why? Because this was a commandment of the Lord. And did the Lord Jesus keep the Passover? Yes, all throughout his earthly life. For all these years, Passover will be kept. And he kept the Passover all his life faithfully, as was commanded. Right? So then this is very important. So this was being celebrated. The Lord Jesus Christ would be at the head of the table, and the 12 would be around. And this was a very, very special time. And of course, they will remember the usual. They will be eating of the lamb that was slain. They will be eating with bread and leaven. They will be eating with, you know, with wine as well. And so on and so forth. All of those things would be part of the Passover meal. Then came a part that was very unusual. It was very strange when the Lord said, "Assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." Now, that was a startling conversation, because in a Passover, people don't talk about things like that. We talk about the past. We talk about God's power. We talk about God's deliverance. We talk about God's protection. We talk about God's preservation. We talk about God's power, God's mercy, God's compassion, God's covenant with Israel. But the topic of betrayal was absolutely, nobody expected that the Lord Jesus would actually say this. Certainly not among the 12. So none of them actually had any clue that Judas would one day, or very shortly, betray the Lord Jesus. Of course, the Lord Jesus knew from the very beginning who would betray him. And there are enough references in the scriptures to tell us that this is all well known to the Lord Jesus. So he said to them, "I say to you, one of you will betray me." Now, what is really significant, poignant, is the fact that we read in verse 22, they were exceedingly sorrowful. Each of them, each one of them began to say, "Lord, is it I?" Now, that sounds very strange, because suddenly they became unnerved. Could it be one of them? And they just couldn't believe that it could be, but they needed to ask the Lord Jesus, "Is it I?" See, sometimes they come to a point when they actually did not trust themselves very much now. They saw in themselves a lot of weaknesses. They saw the division. They saw the carnality. They saw the unbelief. They saw the weaknesses. They saw all the uncertainties, the doubts, and all the questions that should not have been there inside their hearts. Suddenly, they were afraid. They were afraid that one of them would actually betray the Lord Jesus. And so they had to ask, "Is it I?" Well, what does it mean? You know, if in real sense of the word, if you are in danger of betraying, not deliberately, but because of weakness, if that answer is yes, you, what would you do? The answer would be straightway to repent, to ask the Lord to strengthen, to ask the Lord to cleanse, so that we can be faithful to the Lord right to the very, very end. Right? But the Lord did not answer. And so they began to ask, Is it I? And the Lord did not answer. And his answer was very cryptic. He who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. How many? All of them did. Right? So maybe at that particular point, Judas also dipped his hand into the dish. It is very possible. But remember that the dipping, when you have those dips, you just put your food into the whatever it is that they're eating from, the dip, and then you take it, and then it's part of your food. That seems to be everybody's doing it. So the Lord cryptically hid the identity of Judas Iscariot. That is his grace, that is his mercy, that is his compassion, that is his love. Right? So nobody was the wiser. But the Lord had to say, within earshot of everyone, and he said these words, the Son of Man indeed goes forth just as it is written of him. Yes, that he would be betrayed, that he would be given over to the authorities, that he would suffer, that he would die. All these things have been written of him. Yes. And the Lord Jesus had accepted that. Right? But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Now, that is important for us to bear in mind. Right? So this person who betrays the Son of Man as one of the 12, remember, he was called, he was chosen, he was entrusted, he was empowered, he was befriended, he was given all the rights and privileges of being one of the apostles. How do you describe such a person? And the Lord said, woe to that person. Because he has betrayed friendship, he has betrayed his master, he has betrayed his teacher, he has betrayed the Son of God, he has betrayed the Messiah. Now, those are terrible sins. And it, like he said, the Lord Jesus Christ, it would have been good for him, for that man, if he had not been born. Right? Because if he had not been born, he wouldn't do this. But this was a real big problem. Who was the person? Now, at that point of time, well, everybody asks a question. So Judas has to ask a question, because if he doesn't ask a question, it'll become too obvious. You didn't ask a question? All of us did. Peter did, James did, John did, all the others did. What about Judas? Well, he asked the Lord too. Is it Rabbi? He said, is it I? Right? Now, that's something that we want to think about. Is it I? Well, the Lord, the rest we read, they all began to say, Lord, is it I? Well, Judas went on to call him Rabbi rather than call him Lord. Is it I? Maybe that's how the Lord, that's how Judas regarded the Lord Jesus. He's just a rabbi. He's not the Lord. Now, it's very possible that it was what he thought. And so, and the Lord Jesus Christ said, you have said it. Now, these are disturbing words, right? So as we look at this particular thing here, is it I? We have to ask ourselves how we want to learn this lesson. To me, one of the biggest things that we must learn is never trifle with sin. Right from the beginning, he was there. Right? He wanted to be seen with all the rest. He wanted to be with the in crowd. He doesn't want to be there to be part of the whole thing, to be there to be seen as a follower, to be there to enjoy part of the fame and popularity of the Lord Jesus, to be there as one of the apostles entrusted with power. That sounds all wonderful. But he never dealt with the sin in his heart, in his life. Right? That's the first problem. So when he did not deal with sin in his heart, in his life, his avarice, his greed, his desire to be deceptive, his desire for great gain, all these things were there, and these things were not dealt with. What happens? Deception. And then this deception went on to take on a further turn, and it became a deadly, powerful sin in his life, and that became deadly, and he was affected very badly. Well, these are things that we must ask ourselves. Sometimes we trifle with sin too. Maybe not the same kind of sin, but deep down inside us, We are covetous. Deep down, we are worldly. Deep down, we desire the things of the world, and we don't realize how deadly those things are. And those things which we are drawn to are the very things that will one day encroach into our soul, they will encroach into our heart and our mind, and they will engulf us, and they will just absorb us, and we are sunk, that we are drawn in, we're sucked in, and we can't get out. Well, the best thing to do is to deal with sin immediately. Come to the Lord, tell the Lord, Lord, this is my problem, this is my sin, help me get out of it, cleanse me, give me a clean new heart, and I want to follow you and be faithful about it. Can the Lord do this? Answer, yes, do it. That's the best way to go about it. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for his grace, his love, his compassion, his kindness. But very often we take all of these things for granted. Wash and cleanse us from our sins. Teach us how to truly stand cleansed in the blood of the Lord Jesus. Help us to have good, clean hearts, faithful, true, steadfast to the Lord Jesus to the very end. We pray that you will hear this our prayer and help us to be faithful and true to our Savior, in whose name we pray.